Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. Many types of applications involve managing text, whether it be a customer relationship management application where fields of data in notes about customers and opportunities have to be managed, or content management systems where entire paragraphs of text are published to a blog or some other sort of web-based presentation application. Mastering string manipulation is a vital skill. And so in this lesson, what I want to do is demonstrate several common string manipulations that are made easy by the .NET framework. So as you can see, I've already created a console application called Strings. Go ahead and take a moment to pause the video and set up a new project. And what I want to do is just type in some code and make some observations about strings, and we'll just continue to grow these examples and explore some other things that we can do with string manipulation in .NET and Visual Basic. All right, so first of all, okay, so you can see we'll begin simply here. I just wanted to demonstrate, first of all, that you can encode a lot of different kind of special characters within literal strings. For example, you see I have a single quote, or actually a pair, a backslash, and also an ellipsis, all here within a literal string. Now, in some programming languages, that will not work quite as you would anticipate. So just be aware that in Visual Basic, as long as you have an open and close double quotes, you're all set. You don't have to worry about escaping any special characters, all right? There's another concept that we haven't talked about yet, but I think it's important to discuss, and that is what happens when you have one really, really long line of code and need to split it up into multiple lines. Remember that the way in Visual Basic that you indicate a complete thought is through the use of a line. And when a line, when you need to move to the next line, that indicates a second thought. But what if you had one really long line and you didn't want to have to scroll off to the right-hand side? Well, you can use a line continuation character. So you'll do something like this. Okay, so I was being a little bit silly just for the sake of demonstration, but you can see here that, first of all, we have several concatenation characters. I intentionally did not put one on this line just to show you that it doesn't have to be represented this way. But typically what you'll see is a single long line of code split up into multiple lines using these underscore characters, which are line continuation characters. And so in this case, we're just taking one really long literal string and splitting it up into about four lines of code. And again, just to reiterate here, here's a line continuation character, and I reversed the order and placed the concatenation character on the next line. Both are valid, but you'll typically see this style a little bit more often. Let me comment this out. And notice when I comment out the lines, you still have to comment each individual line, even though they are really logically one line of code. All right, I just felt compelled to point that out. Let's continue on. All right, so what happens whenever you want to escape a double quote? So in this case, you can see that I put, if I were to remove the double quotes, it would treat my as a literal string, and then it would start the word so looking for a variable or some other identifier and called in the same regards. In fact, if I were to hover my mouse cursor over it, it'll say end of statement expected. So how do we escape it? You escape it by using double quotes together. This will now treat this entire statement as a single literal string. And actually, just to prove this works, let's go ahead and do console.WriteLine my string, and then console.ReadLine, and see it at work. And it prints out as we would expect. Great. Moving on. What if we need to add a line character between a literal string? We can do something like this. We're going to use this constant VBCRLF for, as you can see in the help, a carriage return line feed character. And so when we run this, you can see that it inserts a carriage return line feed so that we have two lines printed out to our console window. Great. And there are a number of these Visual Basic constants. Some are used for special string characters like you see here, and there are many others for all sorts of uses. You'll experience quite a few of these as we go through these videos and while you continue learning Visual Basic. All right, so that's kind of some how you would format at a rudimentary level a string, and let's move on to some more complex string manipulations using string.format in all of its variations. So first of all, let's start here. And we've used this already a couple of times where we're using this replacement character syntax. So we use some sort of an index which indicates its position in the arguments that follow the string that's to be formatted. So in this case, we will substitute the word hello for this open and closing curly bracket with a zero inside of it. So let's run the application. Great. And just because we haven't done it before, but I alluded to it a little bit earlier, let's use this same example here. So console.WriteLine. And if we look at all the variations on this, it will commit basically the exact same operation for us without having to use string.format. So, in other words, we can do this exact same example. Like so. And we'll get the exact same result. Okay, I just felt like that was worth pointing out. But using string.format and its various uses, just like we looked at, you can do some pretty cool stuff. Now, we've only looked at replacing one value at a time, but we could do something like this. Right. And so you can see I was able to use multiple arguments. In fact, I can use pretty much an infinite number of arguments using 0, 1. If I had a third one, I could do something like that and pass in any type of object, like so. And the string.format would handle it, just like console.WriteLine would handle it as well. All right, how about formatting things like currency and things of that nature? Well, let's try it. Now, we could do something like this. Just put a dollar sign, but that is a very American-centric way of dealing with this. So I could do something like 2345, I think. And I'm just winging it here, but let's see what this comes up with. All right, so that'll print out the dollar amount, but there's actually a better way. Let's remove the dollar sign and use a colon capital C after our replacement number. And what that'll do is actually add the dollar sign for us, and you might think, well, what's the significance of this? Well, it's sensitive to the the settings on your computer dealing with localization. So, for example, if you are in Europe, you might see the euro symbol instead of the dollar sign, and so on. So that's the value of using that currency format. Let's move on. Let's format a number, a really large number, by using colon n. And so now let's do like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. And let's run it. And you can see that it places a period for the decimals, commas, and so on. So it nicely formats a large number using the n string format. Using the P format, we can format a number as a percentage. So 12.30, it basically just multiplies the value by 100 and places a percentage sign next to it. Okay. And then finally, let's do a slightly more complex example here. Okay, so this time we're just using this generic numeric symbol, but placing some special characters throughout to indicate an area code, a space, a dash, things that we would normally do in the United States to format a phone number. Let's run the application, and you can see that it formatted with area code 123456789 0. What if we were to remove the 0 off the end? Let's see what happens. You can see what happens with this type of formatting. It pushes the number from right to left so that when we're missing the sufficient number of characters, 10 characters, we only have 9, that number comes off the very beginning here. So the area code only has 2 values instead of 3. Just an important behavioral aspect to understand about that numeric pound sign formatting scheme there. Okay. All right, great. And so this is a really small set of examples with the colon C, the colon N, the colon P, using the pound sign, so on. It's a very large topic. So for more information, you can take a look at this MSDN help article that's listed here below. All right, so let's continue on. Let me show an example of a large string concatenation project. So we'll do this, dim my string. Because you'll find yourself concatenating strings often, maybe not to this extreme, and even this is relatively simple, but just to demonstrate these ideas, we'll keep it simple for now. So let's run the application. All right, so basically what I'm just doing is concatenating together double dashes and a number from 1 to 100. You can see that's the result. Now, if you have this sort of scenario, what we can do is shorten these lines of code using some clever operators. So by using the plus equal operator, I'm able to take whatever the value of my string is and concatenate on what's to the right of the of that operator. So we'll get the exact same results here. We just didn't have to type in my string twice. So it's just a little nice shortcut to keep in mind. But ultimately, we have to understand what's going on behind the scenes. strings are what are called immutable objects. So every time that you want to change the value of a string and, for example, concatenate more into the string as we're doing in these examples, what's going on behind the scenes is that the .NET Framework runtime is having to take the first value and create a second value in memory, copy the first value plus the new stuff into this section of memory, and then on the next iteration it has to create another section in memory and then do that same copy routine where it's taking the original value plus the new value, putting them into a new section and throwing away the original. So it's doing that 100 times. We're doing a lot of memory manipulation, and it can become quite intensive and slow if you have hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of concatenations that need to go on. So generally when you find yourself in that scenario, and maybe you don't find yourself there very often, you should turn to a special object that was created in the .NET Framework called the String Builder. So let's create another example just to demonstrate how to use the String Builder. Let's comment that out. Instead, we'll do this. Now, let me talk about this as well, as string builder equals new string builder. All right, two things here. First of all, we're going to use the technique from the previous video and import system.txt, which is the namespace that the string builder class lives inside of. Great. Now this is how you create a new instance of a class within Visual Basic. There's actually a newer way to do that. You can actually leave all of this off. So here, let me copy that. Put it into a new version. You can see I can just get rid of this and say dim my string is new string builder, and it'll work exactly the same way. And so some Visual Basic programmers now will use this style. It's just a shortened version of what I demonstrated previously. And again, we haven't talked about the new keyword and instances and all those funny words. We'll talk about those more really soon, I promise. Okay, so anyway, we create a new instance of the String Builder object. Now what we can do is just do mystring.append. And so we can append the dash dash, and we can do mystring.append and then the value of I. And then here what we'll do is change this because we need to convert from string builder back into string, so we can do a toString method. All right, and so now when we run the application, it'll look identical. However, we've invoked the string builder class, which knows how to manage large concatenation operations using the append method and manages the memory a little bit more effectively than the previous version of the example that I demonstrated. Okay, so just keep in mind for large operations like this, you might want to defer to the string builder. Let's comment all of this out for now. Maybe I should revisit that in just a minute. All right, so now let's look at some more built-in functions of the string class itself. And to do that, I'm going to create a new string called mystring equals. It's better to be lucky than good, period, space, space, close quotes. Now, I added two spaces at the end because that's going to become crucial to an example in a moment. So make sure you add two spaces at the end like I've done here, okay? So the first thing we want to do is use a function inside of the string class to retrieve just a portion or a substring. So in this case, I'm going to use the start index. So starting at index 5, retrieve the next 12 characters for me. And so let's see what that gives us. It returns the words better to be, all right? So it looks to the, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.56. So again, just be aware that this is zero-based. So starting at the fifth element and working through the next 12 characters, grab the substring defined here and return it into MyString. Okay? Let's look at another operation. To upper. And now when we run the application, it takes our sentence and capitalizes it. We can also do the same thing with to lower, but I won't demonstrate that. You can go out and try that yourself if you like. MyString equals MyString.replace. Let's replace all of the spaces with double dashes and run the application. So now every time there was a space, I replaced it with double dashes. And I tell you what, that replace method is something I use all of the time when I write applications. It's super helpful. And I think finally what I want to do here is kind of combine two ideas in one. So I'm going to go string.format. All right, and you see how this is kind of running off to the right-hand side of the screen? Whenever you have methods that have multiple input parameters, you don't have to use the line continuation character. You can just put your cursor right before or right after each of the commas that separate each of the input parameters and just hit the Enter key on your keyboard. And this will nicely format a single call to a method, in this case format, passing in each of the arguments as needed. Okay, so what I'm doing here though is I'm going to grab the length of the string before I call the trim method and then after I call the trim method. And so we're going to see what happens to these extra trailing characters at the very end of our string. You can see before there were 36 characters, but then we call the trim method, which will remove any empty spaces. And so there were two empty spaces at the very end. It trimmed those off, and now the length is 34 characters. So the trim statement is important because it allows you to take some steps towards cleaning up user input. There's a saying that software developers have about treating all user input as evil. And the thought process there is that you never know what a user is going to type into a text box or to a console application. And if you don't account for that, there will be an explosion within your application of exceptions and things of that nature. So you want to take great care whenever a user is allowed to type something in. Trimming off empty characters before you save the data might be one good thing that you want to do. There will probably be others as well. But at any rate, we have demonstrated quite a few concepts here. As I said earlier, these are just really a small sampling of all the possible string manipulations. However, this list should serve you pretty well as you're getting started. I'd encourage you, before you go off and start writing a bunch of lines of code to work with strings and to figure out some way to manipulate a string, that you take a few moments first and you review the methods of the string class. You can just go string dot and then start looking at all of the methods that are available to you. And chances are there's already a method or two that will work for whatever you have in mind, or at least will get you or speed you along your way as you begin to work with strings. So that's just a little word of encouragement there at the end. Hope you enjoyed this. We're going to do the same thing for dates in the next video. See you then. Thank you.